don't you stand up one more time? We're going to get into the Word, and let's just enter into His presence just with our hearts, just thanking Him again. Lord, we just want to surrender ourselves to You today. And we dedicate this time in the Word of God unto You. We thank You, Lord, that the hearts are open and receptive. And I thank You, Lord, what needs to be spoken will be spoken. And we are expecting to leave this place changed. For Your Word says that we are going from glory to glory to glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know you agreed with that, so you can go ahead and be seated. You know, the Lord deals with me kind of differently than, I don't know how He deals with other people when they're getting ready to minister, but oftentimes I just get a phrase or I get a title that comes up big in my heart. And I happened to be reading a book a while back, and there was a chapter in there that said, "Get the weeds out." And as I began to read that chapter, it was just going off big on the inside of me of what we needed to talk about today. So my title is, "What's Growing in Your Garden?" What is growing in your garden? I love this time of year, other than sometimes you've got to deal with a little bit of allergies from all the pollen. But I love this time of year when everything is blooming and it's so nice and green outside. And recently we had some work done in our backyard, needed a lot of help. And we had someone come over and plant a lot of new flowers and some nice bushes back there, and he even planted a sunflower plant, which every time I look out my kitchen window, it looks like it's smiling at me, and it makes me happy for sure. But you know, when we plant something, if we plant something from a seed, we can only expect that plant to produce what's in the seed. You can't plant a tomato plant and go, "I can't wait till I can get some potatoes off of that plant." It doesn't work that way. Whatever we plant produces after its kind. It's that way in the natural, and it's that way spiritually. We can't speak negative words and expect a positive return. We can't sow bad seeds and expect that we're going to have a good outcome. If you don't plant good seeds, you're not going to get a good harvest. Is that right? So according to the Bible, it's very clear, every seed contains within itself the ability to produce after its kind. And not just good seeds. Unfortunately, even weeds. And have you ever noticed how quickly weeds spring up? You can do all this work and plant this beautiful flower garden, and you know, the flowers start coming up, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, I didn't plant weeds. Where did they come from?" They just kind of seem to spring up. And oftentimes they come up quicker than the plants do. And have you ever noticed this? If you let your garden, or even sometimes your backyard, if it doesn't have the right soil, if you just let it go, all of a sudden you got a field of weeds and you didn't even have to work at it. They just happen. I guess we could say weeds happen. But we don't want weeds to grow in our hearts, for sure, right? Just like weeds spring up in our garden, spiritual weeds will try to take root in our heart. So today, we're going to take a little bit of an inventory, and you know me, we'll end happy, but we'll take a little bit of an inventory on some possible weeds that might be trying to get into the soil of our heart. We're going to do a little gardening, and we're going to pull those weeds up, amen, and plant the right things in our heart. So you might ask, well, how do things get planted in our heart? The short answer is words. The words that we speak can get rooted down into our hearts. I have a nephew. His name is Charlie. And he has a business, I don't know what the proper name is, but where they go around and they cut down trees. But he's also, I mean, he's real, he says things in a real, real great way that always kind of speaks to my heart. And recently, he put this conversation on Facebook that he was having with, I think she's 12-year-old, his 12-year-old daughter named Lindley. And it obviously was a lesson in the importance of how we treat people and the importance of our words. So I just want to read this to you. This is what Charlie said. Lindley, did you know that your words are seeds? So don't be surprised or upset later when some of the same type of words you spoke are said back to you. You plant seeds with your words and actions. And when the plant has grown, we reap what we have sown. Good lesson for pre-teenagers or teenagers. You know, you speak ugly words to people or you talk wrong about someone else, most likely that's going to get turned around and someone's going to do the same thing to you. That's not just for teenagers. That's for all of us, for sure. So we want to take just a few moments and highlight some things that we do not want growing in our lives. Number one would be unforgiveness. Anyone in here ever been wrong, done wrong? Well, probably ever been wrong too, but anyone in here ever been done wrong? I guess I should say it. Anyone in here not ever been treated poorly? Anyone in here ever had someone say something about you that was not true? It was hurtful and it seemed like they were on purpose trying to wound you and trying to hurt you. Well, we've all had those things happen to us, and we cannot control what other people say. We can't control their words. We can't control their actions. But we alone can take charge of our actions and our reactions to what has been done to us or what has been said about us. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I'm just not going to forgive them. I'm not, you know, if I see them in the store, I'm going to run to another aisle. If I see them at church, I'm going to go to the other side of the church. I'm not going to speak to them. I'm going to give them the silent treatment. I'm going to ignore them. I'm not going to talk to them. Sometimes when we think that we're doing something bad to hurt someone else, they don't even notice. They don't even care that you're giving them the silent treatment. We're not hurting them. We're hurting ourselves. Let me tell you this. This is a joke. Again, I'll tell you it's a joke. These two good old boys, we'll name them Bubba and Barney. They were out fishing one day. Bubba says to Barney, you know, I think I'm going to divorce my wife. Barney says, why are you going to do that? She ain't talked to me for 2 months. So Barney's milling that over, and a little bit he says, you know, Bubba, you might want to reconsider. A woman like that is hard to find. So apparently, Bubba's wife was giving him the silent treatment, thinking she was hurting him. But Barney was thinking, that's a pretty good deal that she hasn't talked to you for 2 months. So we all know that it's easy to get into unforgiveness. And we're like, you know what? They've done this to me over and over and over again. I'm justified in making them suffer. And not forgiving them, at least not right away. But when we think about the teachings of Jesus, his disciples came to him one day and they said, Lord, how often do we have to forgive this person? And Jesus, they said, is 7 times good? 7 times is good, right, in a day? And Jesus said, no, 7 times 70. All you mathematicians in here, that's 490 times, I think, in one day. So Jesus was teaching them, it's never right to harbor unforgiveness. It'll show up in our lives and hurt us. Unforgiveness is not anything that we want to grow in the garden of our hearts. Don't water that seed. Curse it from the roots. Release that person. Let it drop. Let it go before it grows. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We're going to go through these again. I know this is not shouting ground, but stay with me. And then another thing that we don't want in the garden of our hearts is envy and strife. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 16, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." You've probably heard this saying, that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Women tend to fall into this trap probably a little bit more than men. And they get this attitude. They start looking at another woman or whatever, and they start comparing themselves to someone else, which the Bible also says, those that compare themselves to one another, it's not wise. It's not smart. Every single one of us are divinely and uniquely made. Every one of us are valuable and precious to the Lord, and He's a great designer. So if we start putting ourselves down, we're really saying, God, you did a horrible job in making me. No, we need to know who we are in Christ. And when we see us as He sees us, we know that we're loved. We know that we are accepted in Him. And we don't have to compare ourselves to anyone else. We don't have to look at someone and say, well, if I had her looks, if I had her job, if I was wealthy like her, if I had her house, or this is a really bad one, if I only had her husband, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You don't even really know what her husband might be like at home. Fine looking might not be so fine at home. So we don't want to fall into the trap of jealousy and envy. And in that scripture it says, where envy and strife is. Envy oftentimes will lead to strife. Because we start looking at that person, we start talking about another person, and it gets us into strife. As I was preparing for this, this came up in my heart, that strife is like a tree. It has branches. That verse we just read, where envy and strife is, what did it say? Confusion and every evil work. We don't want the tree of strife growing in our hearts. As a matter of fact, say this with me. I shut the door on envy and strife. I pull it up from the roots. I will not yield to strife. In Jesus' name. And then another one. We're almost done with the bad seeds. Hang in there. Bitterness is not a good thing to have in our heart. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 in the NLT, looking after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. That's a really strong word, isn't it? I don't hear anybody shouting, but I'm telling you, if we get these things taken care in our lives, we will be shouting. This verse calls bitterness poisonous. And it says it will trouble you. And then it also said it will corrupt many. When we allow bitterness and resentment to grow on the inside of us, you know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh. Whatever's in there is going to leak out. And when we allow that in our heart, not only does it affect us, but it says it corrupts many. If we get that bitterness and resentment on the inside of us, perhaps, you know, toward our mate, if you're married, and that little root of bitterness is in there, and you start talking negatively about them to your kids or to other people, then what does that do? That distorts their image of that person. It starts affecting the entire family. It starts affecting people that you talk to and how they view that person. I don't want a show of hands, but maybe there's in people in here that you've had the opportunity to get resentful or bitter toward your boss or another person that you work with. You start spreading that around the office. Guess what? It's not only going to affect you, it's going to start corrupt the thinking of other people. And then God forbid, I know it never happened in this church, but what if you start talking ugly about your pastor? Well, I just got to go to another church. Pastor Mark has just lost the anointing. It just ain't flowing anymore. Some of you say, oh, no, never. Oh, yes. Ever. It has happened, but not here. We're not saying none of you, but we don't want to allow ourselves to get bitter or resentful toward anyone and start talking about them and corrupting the image of them to other people. So how do we get rid of these weeds? Well, let me just tell you, based on my vegetable gardening experience, not so much lately, but when I was a kid, we would have this huge garden. And part of our job when the plants started coming up is we had to get rid of the weeds. Again, we didn't plant weeds, but they just shot up in the garden. And my dad would want to get rid of the weeds. When we were just little kids, he'd give us a hoe. He said, now you gotta chop that thing out of the ground till you get the root. Well, you know what? It was way easier to take the hoe and just go like this down the rope and cut the tops of the weeds off and say, okay, all done. But you know what? The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. So your sin and your laziness would show up. If we didn't get the root of that weed, you know what? It'd come back and a lot of times bring buddies with it because we did not get rid of the root. Weeds have to be dealt with at the source, at the root. And we have, you know, be honest. We know that weeds are going to happen. But one of the ways we keep them out of getting on the inside of us, we are in charge of what gets planted in our hearts. We're the ones that are the guardians of our hearts. The Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, this is in the NLT, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's powerful. What's in your heart determines the course of your life. Hallelujah. If you don't like the harvest that you have today, maybe you need to check the seeds you planted tomorrow. Seeds are planted by words. Weeds are uprooted by words. Let's make another declaration. Let's say this. Unforgiveness. Envy. Strife. Bitterness. You gotta go. I'm not gonna let you grow. Now let's look at some positive seeds. Are you ready to hear some positive seeds that we do want planted in our hearts, in the garden of our heart? First of all, let's talk about the Word of God. The Word of God is a seed. Jesus often taught in parables to his disciples and to his followers. And sometimes the parables were a little hard for them to understand. And they were like, what did he mean? Say what? What was the gist of that? But when he's talking about the Word of God in this parable, he makes it very, very clear. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he said, here then is the deeper meaning. You want a deeper meaning, boys, of the parable today? Well, this is it. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. The word of God is a living seed. And it contains within it the DNA to transform lives. Anybody in here been changed by the word of God? If you're born again, you are a brand new creation. The seed of the word of God got on the inside of you. That's how you got born again. The Bible says, how do you get born again? If you're in here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, it's very simple. We believe it in our heart and we speak it with our mouth. What are we speaking? The word of God. It's living. The word of God is not just information. It is transformation. It brings change into our lives. The word that we plant in our hearts today will protect us tomorrow. Amen. Aren't you glad that we can speak the 91st Psalm? You need to get that planted deep on the inside of you. There's no evil that's going to befall me. Neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. I'm the safest of the safe under the shadow of the Almighty. The word contains power. So on a daily basis, plant the seed of the word of God into your heart. And right along with the word of God is that we need to be on a regular basis feeding our faith. We're born again by faith. Amen. But faith is given to every single one of us when we're born again. We all are given the same measure of faith. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Kenneth Hagin, they didn't get any more faith than you did when you confessed Jesus as Lord. But they did what was necessary for that faith to grow. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we can have exceedingly growing faith. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward one another. What do we do to nurture this seed of faith? Anybody got any idea? What do you do? I'm looking for an answer. How about listen to the word? How about meditate on the word? How about speaking the word? How about acting on the word? We can't just be hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word of God. And when we have planted some promise that we are standing on, we planted it deep into our hearts. Oftentimes, when something is bigger, it's going to take longer before it shows up on the outside. The Bible tells us to be patient. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And we've all experienced this, that due season is way longer than we want it to be. So I've been believing God for this situation. I've been believing for my family to come into the kingdom of God. I've been standing on the word for years. Don't give up. Due season is on the way. Some plants and trees take longer to bear the fruit that we want. But it doesn't mean that God's not watching over his word to perform it on your behalf. Many of you ladies that come here on a regular basis, you've heard me tell this story about the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree is an interesting tree. You plant the seed and then you have to mark where you planted it. And on a regular basis, you've got to water it. You've got to fertilize it. And for the first year, you see nothing, but you got to keep watering it. You got to keep fertilizing it. The second year, absolutely nothing, not a sprout, not a twig, nothing, but you got to keep watering it. You got to keep fertilizing it. The third year, still, guess what? Nothing. But you got to keep watering it. You got to keep fertilizing it. The fourth year, 4 years and 10 months. Guess what? Say it with me. Nothing. But some point during the fifth year, it's not nothing anymore. It is something. That seed will break through the ground. And it breaks through. And there's such rapid growth. I've been told that some of them can grow 90 feet in 5 weeks. 90 feet in 5 weeks once it springs forth out of the ground. And some people will say, oh, but there was nothing that could be seen above the ground. But something was happening underneath the soil. And you know what? That something that was happening, the root system was spreading out far and wide. The root system was going down deep into the soil, because that seed knew once that little twig sprung up, that little blade, it was going to grow so rapidly that it had to have a strong root system to support it. Some of you are at 4 years and 11 months and 20 days or whatever. You're about to the fifth year of your breakthrough. So don't take your faith off of the line. Don't dig up the seed of the Word of God. It wouldn't be a good farmer. It wouldn't be a good person that was growing a Chinese bamboo tree after a year if they didn't see something to go and dig it up. No, they have to start all over again. Leave it in the ground. Water it with your words. Water it with the prayers. Amen. It is coming. Hallelujah. Right on the verge of a mighty harvest. And then another seed that is important for us to nurture in our lives is the seed of love. Oh yeah, you're going to go there. Yes, I'm going to go there. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. If love roots aren't deep, this said rooted and grounded in love. If they're not deep, then that plant is going to sway at the very least little wind. It might even blow over. We've all had marvelous opportunities to step out of the love walk. Maybe today. Did somebody get your seat? Did one of the sisters eat the last biscuit? We all have these opportunities. That's why we got to stay rooted and grounded in love. And I don't know. It seems to me I've heard illustrations through the years. There's a lot of attacks on our love walk in the kitchen. Anybody ever had one? In the kitchen. And one of our dear friends, Billy Brim, I love this story that she tells when her and Kent were probably first married, hadn't been married that long, and she worked at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, but she had also come home, she made soup, I mean, she's doing all the domestic stuff, and her husband comes in, he walks over, lifts up the lid on the soup, he tastes it, and he says, can you call Mom and ask her what she puts in her soup? Nobody wants to hear that, right? And then another time, she'd been working at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and she had come home in time, and it was cold. She made a pot of chili for Kent and the kids, and she had to be back at a meeting that night. And he comes in, he goes, oh, good, chili. And then he says, opens the cabinet, where's the crackers? She said, honey, you don't need crackers. I made homemade cornbread. And he's all, I really want crackers. I mean, you know, uh-oh is right. Uh-oh. So what she finally discovered that she had to do to stay in the love of God is she read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We won't take the time to read it, but I would encourage you. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8 out of the Amplified. And I have just kind of downsized it, and I'm going to lead you in this confession, because this is what Sister Billy did. She got little index cards. And she put him in all the cabinets in the kitchen. And every time something like that was said, call mom and ask her how she made this. Or, you know, could you do this differently? She'd go over and open a cabinet, stand there and read. He didn't know what she was doing, but she was keeping herself rooted in the love of God. So this is a good confession for all of us. I would encourage you to do that. Now we have everything online, but I had this written out for many years myself. Oftentimes I would keep it in the cover of my Bible. We all know Pastor Mark is perfect, but actually he's not quite. And there have been many opportunities in 46 years of marriage to step out of the love walk. And every single time I passed the test. No, I did not. Many times I said words that I had to go later and say, okay, let's pray for a crop failure over those. I didn't mean that. But this will help keep us in the love of God. So let me just lead you in some of these confessions here that we find in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Personalize them, write them down if you have to, make it part of your regular confession. And if you've got trouble at work, put them in your desk drawer, pull it out, sit there and just say them to yourself, wherever the attacks seem to come, because they will come. So say this with me, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I choose to walk in love. I am not envious or boil over with jealousy. I am not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. Now, this is a big one. I do not insist on my own rights or my own way. This one is huge for ladies. I am not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I believe the best and leave the rest. So some of you are great at accounting, but when it comes to taking account of wrongdoings, don't add them up anymore. Let them go. Subtract them instead of adding them into your heart. Amen. Just a couple more here. How about peace? We want to plant peace in our hearts. Even when it looks like everything is calm and peaceful, we should still be meditating on peace scriptures. Practice being full of peace. Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Surpassing understanding. When we practice peace, some will even wonder, they'll say, why aren't you upset? This is a terrible situation. You're not showing that you even care. Don't you care that that person died? Don't you care that they're going through that horrible situation? Yes, we care about people, but we can't afford to carry the care of people's problems and issues. We got to cast that over upon the Lord. And the plant of peace, not only will it keep us peaceful, but I believe it offers a shelter from the seed, from the weed of worry. I saw that as I was praying about that peace, this big tree and the branches out there were sheltering and keeping us calm, keeping us restful, and keeping us out of worry. We don't want worry in our hearts, do we? For sure not. So declare this with me. Say, I am not anxious or worried. I cast all my cares on the Lord. I let the peace of God rule and reign in my heart. And then the last one that I want to talk about is the seed of joy. Joy is planted in our hearts when we're born again. Jesus is the joy of our salvation. You can't get sad Holy Ghost. You don't get a sad Jesus. When you get born again, the joy of the Lord comes on the inside of us. And the devil, he is a master at trying to steal our joy. Unfortunately, I think he knows the Bible better than a lot of Christians. He probably knows Nehemiah 8:10 that says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that's why there's constant drains coming in our life and constant things trying to choke and steal the joy of the Lord. Because he knows if we're weak, we're not going to run our race. We're not going to finish our course. So he attacks that joy. We have to take care of nurturing the joy of the Lord that's already ours. But we have to nurture it. We have to feed it proper nutrition. The Bible says in Jeremiah 15:16, the prophet Jeremiah said, I did find the word of God. I ate them, and your word was unto me what? The joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So feeding on the word of God will help keep that joy stirred up on the inside of us. And then, of course, also praying in the Holy Ghost waters that joy seed. It waters all of the seeds we're talking about, but it will particularly, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep you on the joy side of life. The Bible says in Acts 13:52 that the disciples, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So that means they were praying in the Spirit. And as a result, they were also filled with joy. It's connected. Joy is a spiritual force that's not dependent on circumstances or situations. But it is, all of us have to make that choice to rejoice. Amen? A stem on the joy plant is happiness. Being happy is a decision. Have you found this out? Our happiness can't be based on what's going on around us. Pastor was sharing this on Sunday. Our happiness can't be connected to a person. I love him with all of my heart. He loves me. But we do disappoint each other. And it's not every day that I wake up and he looks at me and says, "You're the most beautiful creature I've ever seen." And it's not every day that I cook him a meal, which I don't cook every day, but once in a while when I cook him a meal, it's not every time that he's like, "This is the most delicious thing I have ever put in my mouth." So if I'm depending on his comments to make me happy, I'm going to be disappointed. And him the same way. We love each other. We do compliment one another. But we don't rely on each other to make us happy. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Being happy, being full of joy is a choice. We can hire somebody to plant seeds in our vegetable garden or our flower garden, but no one else can plant the proper seeds in the soil of your heart, in the garden of your heart. No one else can make you happy. We are the caretakers of our own garden. So let me ask you today, what's growing in your garden? Do you need to get some weeds out? And do you need to water and nurture some good things so you will have a good harvest? Now, as we were preparing for this message, I like to do little illustrations. And before we go today, and we're not done yet, so don't leave. But before we go today, I wanted to show you a picture of what each and every one of you are going to receive. I don't know if they can put that up on the screen or not. But we found this seed. It's a pack of seeds. Found it on Amazon, and I loved it. I like that it's pink. But it also says, be happy. It's a choice. Be happy with who you are, who God created you to be, the life that you are living. Amen? be happy. And it reminds us, I believe, that this will remind us to plant happy seeds. And when I was looking on Amazon and found this, it also had something there. And it said about this seed pack. It says it attracts hummingbirds, bees, and butterflies. It attracts hummingbirds, bees, and butterflies. What are you attracting in your life? Hopefully not flies and bugs. We want to attract butterflies and hummingbirds. And when you plant a garden in the natural, again, I know a little bit about this. If you want your plants to grow and really be happy plants, you need to put some flowers out there and some bushes that bloom that attract what? Bees. Because bees come and they pollinate your plants. So I believe that today we are being reminded to plant happy seeds. So we're gonna have a little bit of a prayer time, and then we're gonna pass these out. We're gonna pass them out at the end. Guys, back there, I know I didn't give them great directions. So don't leave before the prayer time is over, because you want to get your cute little packet. It looks like that. It has the seeds in there, but it also has a little thing of hand lotion and a little emery board in there. So you can go work in your garden. We're working on our natural gardens and our spiritual garden. Amen. But as I was praying about how to close this today, I just heard this in my heart, that some of you need a new, fresh start. You need a new, fresh start in the garden of your heart. And today is the day for that to happen. This last scripture in Psalms 85:6 says, "Revive us again, O Lord. I know you will. Give us a fresh start." So I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, now that there will be signs following the preaching of the word. And I thank you for the dealings of the Holy Spirit, that each lady's heart is being touched by your presence and by your power. We've already led you in many confessions, but I really felt like in my heart today that there are people perhaps that are not born again, or maybe you walked with the Lord at one time and you've gone astray. And so as we close here in a few moments, if you need to ask Jesus into your heart, he's just tugging on your heart. Maybe someone invited you to come. This is new. This is different for you. But you want to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus today. Then we're going to invite you to come when others come and respond to the altar call. And then this was, as I was praying last night, I wrote this down because it came up strong in my heart. Someone has really been struggling with hurt, unforgiveness, and even bitterness. And you think because what was done to you was so horrendous that you're justified in those feelings. Some people have even told you it's okay to feel that way. What they did to you was terrible. And maybe it was. But today, through the power of the Holy Spirit and a decision of your will, you're going to get rid of that once and for all. You're going to let it go. You're not going to let that hurt and that bitterness control you. Eproshabrataha has something to do, of course, with a relationship. It could be even be a past marriage where your mate, your former mate, treated you wrongly. Or it could even be that you're in a marriage right now and you're being abused. You're being treated unjustly. And you need wisdom and you need help to release that and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to show you what to do in the midst of that situation. There is help at the altar today. There's help in His presence. So if any of that described you, I want you to boldly come down, and I'm going to agree with you in prayer, and we are believing for the anointing. The Bible says the anointing destroys every yoke. Sometimes these things become a stronghold in our life, and we need help getting rid of them. If that describes you, go ahead and make your way down here. Getting rid of a hurt that's been hounding you. Even a broken heart. You're dealing with that. Your heart's been broken. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your healing power. We thank you for ministering to your precious ladies. Hallelujah. As Pastor Tom's just praying. He's praying and he's playing. We're going to wait a few moments because I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me that people need prayer. If I didn't exactly describe your situation, but it has to do with unforgiveness, hurt. Be bold. This is ladies here today. We all love one another. No one's going to judge you. We're going to help you. There's some other ones in here that you need to get things right between you and the Lord. I hear it like this. You've let things come between you and the Lord. You haven't said it out loud, but in your heart, you have all of these whys. Why, Lord? Why did this happen? Or why didn't this happen? And those questions, oh, masiprata, they're springing up and they're causing a wall and a barrier between you and your relationship with Jesus. So you need to come to. Everyone, just lift your hands. Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. I know there's some more that need to come down here. You need to get your life right with Jesus. You need to let go of those whys. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to these precious ladies by your Spirit. Pastor Nancy, come and help me minister to these precious ones. Hallelujah. Y'all pray in the Spirit. Stretch your hands out toward them. Lord, for what you are doing in your presence, in your presence. Let's just all lift our hands one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that brings peace. Your presence that brings change. Thank you, Lord. It's a new season and it's a new day. And we come asubrata. We purpose to plant the seed of the Word of God deep in our hearts. And we expect to grow. To grow in you, Lord. To become more and more like you. Thank you, Lord, for these precious ladies. How you minister to each and every one. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So sweet, His presence. Amen. And so sweet are each and every one of you. Thank you for being so attentive and coming today. appreciate it. We want you to have a blessed day. Come back tomorrow. The ushers are at the back, and they will have the little gift packets for you. So make sure you take one as you go. As a reminder, what are we going to do? We're going to be happy. Amen. Be blessed. Amen.